Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you very much, Lori. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Lord's house this day as we gather in Christ's name. Our Savior Lutheran, for those on our radio, WPHM, or podcast, WPHM.net. Our Savior, Port Huron, Michigan, broadcasting for 81 years. There's some people back from overseas. Good to have Bill and Kay in the pews. I teased them that there probably was a dust buildup in the 2 weeks they were gone, but I doubt that. And we have a visitor from Port Huron Hospital, Donna Taylor. She has been hospitalized for several days. Everyone more than what she wanted, right, Donna? So she's here until she gets referred to another hospital and they give her an appointment for more tests. We're glad the immediate problem was managed for her, and she is strong enough. And she enjoyed the first 2 days home by sitting in her yard with creation. Right, Donna?
Yep.
So this day is service of the word. So no sacrament this day. Next day of sacrament is October 6th. It is known as Worldwide Communion Sunday. So even non-Lutheran churches seek to target that as a day, whether it's quarterly for them or annual, to do throughout Christendom in the world, to do a worldwide communion Sunday. That's when we commune next. We begin this day, confession, forgiveness. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the strength of our ancestors, the host of this time and meal, the builder of the city that is yet to come. Amen. If we've died with Christ, we will also live with Christ. So let us confess our sin to the one who is faithful. God, our helper, we confess the many ways we have failed to live as your disciples. We have not finished what we began. We have feasted with friends but ignored strangers. We have been captivated by our possessions. Lift our burdens, gracious God. Refresh our hearts and forgive our sin. Raise us to the new life you have chosen for us. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. Put your trust in these promises. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. You were lost, you now been found. And so for the sake of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Rejoice with the angels at this good news. Amen. Entrance hymn, one selected by our members, you have come down to the lakeshore. Thank you. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As Lori goes to the organ bench, we sing Praise My Soul, verses 1 and 4. The Lord be with you.
With you.
If you'll join me in the prayer of the day, we pray together. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths. Turn our minds to your wisdom and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the first reading. Judy is reading for Scott Bright, our physician.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Amos was called by God to prophesy in the northern kingdom of Israel. Peace and prosperity in Israel led to corrupt business practices and oppression of the poor. The prophet declares that God will not tolerate such a situation. First reading comes from the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Judy. Psalm 113 is our psalm of the day. The antiphon is incorporated at appropriate times. The antiphon, the Lord lifts up the poor from the ashes. Responsively, we read, Alleluia, give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be blessed from this time forth forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, God's glory above the heavens. The Lord lifts up the poor from the ashes. Who's like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high, who stoops to behold the heavens and the earth? The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust. He lifts up the poor from the ashes, enthroning them with the rulers of the people. The Lord makes the woman of a childless house to be a joyful mother of children. Hallelujah! The Lord lifts up the poor from the ashes. Our second reading.
The pastoral epistles offer insight into how early Christians understood many practical matters, such as church administration and worship. The church's focused prayer for others and an expression of the single-minded passion God has towards us in Jesus. The second reading comes from 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 7. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, human himself, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Gary. If you're able to stand for the gospel acclamation, I invite you to stand. Together we speak. Hallelujah. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Strive side by side for the faith of the gospel. Hallelujah. Gospel text for this day is from Luke, our gospel writer for the year, 16th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to his disciples, another parable, another story, hear Christ. There was a rich man who had a manager. Charges were brought to him. This man was squandering his property. So this rich man summoned him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? I want you to give an accounting of your management because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking this position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I will do. I've decided that when I am dismissed as this manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So, this crafty man summoned his master's debtors one by one. He asked the first, how much do you owe me or your master? He answered, well, there's 100 jugs of olive oil. He said, well, I want you to take that bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Scratch out the 100, you only owe 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe the master? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. So he said to him, take that bill out right now. Just strike it out that 100, write it for 80. His master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For truly the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. So I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, you will be welcome into the eternal homes. But whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the real riches of God? And if you've not been faithful for what belongs to another person, who's going to give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one, love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. For those on radio, you're worshiping with our Savior Lutheran Port Huron on this Sunday in the season of Pentecost. Reading of God's Word this day is about caring for the things that are entrusted to us in such a way we act and are seen by the Master as faithful stewards. For the longest time, that word steward, other than people who are on the airplane stewardess, usually meant religious language. Nowadays, you hear it being used quite a bit. Stewards of creation, stewards of this, stewards of this. Its roots come from an understanding God is the Master. He's the one who is allotted into our care with the discretion and freedom to make wise choices or terrible choices. Obviously, God leaning that we would make wise choices. But in the Northern Kingdom, approximately around 750, 780 BC, the children of God who bore the name of God, Yahweh, were making terrible choices. God had articulated that from the point of the Decalogue and from the following orders of Moses, you take care of one another. See to it that you treat your neighbor as you would treat yourself, way before Jesus said that to us. But the condition of reality, real time in Israel, was that there was a growing gap between rich and poor. Many societies, some would say it's here too, great disparity. The prophets, Amos, Micah, Isaiah, many of the prophets, Jeremiah too, had to address this. To say, look, as God looks upon you, the children who bear his name to the nations of the world to make God proud, you're screwing up. You're not getting it done. But God has asked you by your life and the fruits of your faith to show your faith active to care for your neighbor. So in this disparity, he characterizes as God speaks through the mouthpiece of the prophet Amos. He says, you trample on the needy. You bring to ruin those who live within your boundaries, the land, the poor, disregard. So much so you just trample over them as if they were nothing. But you say to yourself, oh, I can hardly wait to get back in the marketplace so I can make more money. So let's rush this new moon along, this celebration, so that we can sell our grain. Let's move the Sabbath along so that we can open up in the marketplace and sell our product. No. Even when you're in the marketplace, when the scales are there in the ancient world that put a weight there, if you were buying a pound of something, that have a weight of a pound, and then pour the grain on. And they would do such a thing, putting the thumb on the weight scales, that it would cheat the consumer purchasing the wheat, the grains, the fruit, whatever it was that they were buying. They were skimming off the top and cheating the customer. In the course of things, he goes on to say, and then also in your conduction of behavior to the people who are poor, you buy them for silver, slavery, entitlement, trapped. And you buy the needy for a pair of sandals, worthless sandals. I'm sure he meant used sandals. And selling the sweepings. Now, we talked about this in Monday's class and Wednesday's class. The sweepings were the leftovers. It was the chaff. It was the broken grain. Was it even fit to give to an animal? Sweep it up. I'm going to put it on a scale and I'm going to sell it. Let the buyer beware. Remember, that was the old saying back then, those days. You didn't know what the seller was doing to you, true or false weights. God says, this is not the way it will be, and I will not forget your deeds. As that text was being read this day by Judy, the image that came to my mind, see, my sermons are never done, was the musical production, if you've seen it, of Oliver, taking place in 19th century Europe, England. And I believe in its writing and formation. Of course, it's a musical and everybody gets captivated by the music. There's youth gangs, right? They're not going to school, they're stealing for their headmaster. When things are being purchased in the marketplace, as the opening scenes of Oliver takes place, there's illegitimate transactions of business. In the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution, if you don't know this, Europe was full of great disparity, but it wasn't only Europe. It took place across this country. The urban areas became full of slums, not well-built homes, rats, but the wealthy, they had those nice castles. They had the places that just looked good on a photograph and a picture, but not so for the ones upon their backs built the economy. In the 60s, here in the United States, you may not remember back that far, I sure do. You remember the protests, not only for civil rights, but did you notice the transition for Martin Luther King Jr.? Just prior to his passing and assassination, he started talking about the poor of America. Remember that March for Poverty in Washington, D.C.? That famous speech, "I've been to the mountaintop. I may not get there, but I know one day it's going to be set right." Next day, he was assassinated. When we start talking about American wealth, now you're stepping on landmines. It irritates people when you start talking about investments. I remember back in the days of the 70s in the American Lutheran Church, which I was ordained in, the collection of clergy and laity voted General Assembly to disengage pastors' pensions from any corporation supporting apartheid in South Africa. Now, the rest of the citizenry could do it. The pastors were going to pay the price. As an example of this behavior of separation in Africa was wrong, unjust, unfair, and God has a word. After a few years, apartheid was broken by those who would stand up against it. And likewise, the irony, right? The one who is imprisoned became the prime minister and took over rebuilding the nation, not with violence, but by God understood love and forgiveness for the white population as the black population took over. That's grace personified. Usually when one is hurt, they want to inflict pain on another one. Not so where God is involved. Second reading, 1 Timothy. Paul, in writing to the church, giving behavior and understanding of this new life we have in Christ. Even if your leaders are necessarily your favorites, they didn't get elected to what you wanted to be elected into those positions. When you're displeased with policy decisions, actions, behaviors, don't insurrect, don't rebel. Pray all the harder. Now, do I have to bring up the current day? Good Lord. I said, when the elections were taking place, it doesn't really matter who gets elected, God's still king. When we lose perspective of who's really running the show and we get bombarded by people, sayings, chants, crowds, protests, we forgot that God's still running. When we stand for a particular thing that's unjust, that's something. But when we're speaking against an individual without justification or identification, that's prejudice. I think that's what we call prejudice. In this day, we have schism, we have controversy, we have all kinds of things. All the more to hear Paul's words. Pray for your leaders, make supplications, intercessions, even kings, all who are in high positions. You gotta understand, he's talking about Caesar of Rome, who's gonna bring Paul's death. How much more can Caesar be an enemy? And Paul says, pray for him. We need to pray for our national leaders. And even though Congress is in its almost unpopular state in history, pray for Congress. Pray for local leaders. Somehow, God, get control of this chaos. Make sense with their senselessness. Bring justice and peace and heal this country. Remember in May when we do the prayer for America? In the Congress, in the world, when we're allowed to pray, we also hear the passage of the Old Testament prophet. It says, if my people will humble themselves and present themselves humbly before their God, I will hear their cry and I will come to answer them. That's where we begin. In talking to God, pray for some way to bring sense and healing, even if it's not in our favor. For there is one God, one mediator between God and all people. It's Christ Jesus, himself human, but also divine. He gave himself as a ransom. And I, Paul, have been presented with a duty and a responsibility to speak this truth to non-Jews so that they may come to believe in Christ. I remain as a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Now we move on to the Gospel, Luke's story. Jesus is a good storyteller. He's a rabbi. Rabbis love to tell stories. He tells one. It's a story about management. Now, if you misread this, and I'm sure preachers and Bible readers and semi-scholars would say, I guess he's commending the evil servant to do it, so therefore I should be evil and scrupulous? No, really hear the words. People in this world who just don't care about people but only the accumulation of their wealth or enjoyment of life and pleasure at the expense of others, those people will do the most unscrupulous things. And they think it's okay. But for you who know better, you do differently. You order your life in a way that has a different orientation than this world has. God's kingdom is not here. God's kingdom is under God's power. When his kingdom comes, we're not going to have any corruption, no greed, no extortion, no buying of favors in politics. You can't buy God. Just doesn't work. So we are, as people of God, he says, learning how to be faithful in little so that we can do it in much. As we grow in knowledge of God, we become better stewards of what's been entrusted to us so that we'll grow to serve God. And Jesus closes it by saying, look, people, you've got conflicted interests. You want to do your part for God, but you keep that in your back pocket, and you want to live in this world all the way. You can't do it. You're going to love one and hate the other, or give more attention to one and forget the other. Make your choice. Choose wisely. In the course of our life, we have many decisions, and we're hasty. Make those quick decisions, but we need a moral basis for it. Those in political life, they're not all bad, but there's some who just accumulated and acquired the power for themselves, not for the good of people. And when they got into those positions, oh, let's face it, money talks. Their interest and attention gravitates to the money that supports them in office. I know on Facebook there's always those little things like, we ought to do for Congress term limits like the president, 2 terms and you're out. That might bust up the party, but I can't imagine Congress passing it. We have it in the state legislature, term limits. Why can't we do it there? It gets a little rocky because people don't have experience, but the trade-off is maybe we wash out those things which are vested interests by lobby groups, by those who didn't necessarily elect them but gave them the money to get elected. No political system, no government, no economy is without sin. But going back to Winston Churchill, yes, democracy has a lot of problems, but it's the best government we have today. May the God of grace, who's patient with us beyond measure, and the God who has forgiven us when we have been part of the problem, please understand there is corporate sin. If we're attached to the sin, we're guilty too. And be mindful to serve God in all ways and all the times of our life. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Hymn of the day is one that speaks to us in terms of the message of the lessons about fairness and justice. This is a passage that comes from the Old Testament prophet. Let justice flow. We sing. We affirm together the faith we have in Father, Son, and Spirit. If you will please rise. Together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Prayers continue. My Jane leading us.
Sustained and nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, you call your church to serve you. Free your people from the deceptions of false masters
so that we may discover the true richness of serving in your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creating God, you have made all kinds of creatures. Protect animals in the midst of seasonal migration, whether by water, through the air, or over land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Wise God, you rule the nations. When the powerful trample on the needy and take advantage of the poor, turn them from their selfish ways. Show us your ways of truth that lead to justice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Healing God, you raise up those who have been brought low, and you remember the forgotten. We lift up to you all who are in need, especially Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jared Lucas, Bob McMorrin, Bev Chittister, Patricia May, Maria Ronk, Melanie McLean Auker, Harley Heinbuck, Phyllis and Clyde Akers, Donna Taylor, Mary Balderston, Joanne Kilborn, Marilyn Wright, Kirk Langoff, Donna Winter, and the family of Nick Whaley. We also ask for prayer for the thousands adversely affected by the Hurricane Dorian. And we pray also for those serving our nation, Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, and Faye Wright, and all those that have returned from their service here and overseas. Grant them joy and comfort in your presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And gracious God, during this week with the floods in Texas, we pray too, Lord, for all the victims of flood, life, limb, possessions, families. Gracious God, comfort them in their losses. So, assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
If you'll please be seated. We receive our gifts which enable the ministry we do in Christ's name. As I was adding the prayers for Texas, Wednesday night, Scott Pike of this congregation indicated to our confirmation class he was leaving Friday to go to Texas.
He said, I'm going right into the floods,
going right into it. So Scott is down there in Texas. He'll probably play the podcast. We also, along the way, have gotten some new prayer requests. One came in by the voicemail when I got in the office this morning for Kirk Langoff. Lois placed him on our prayer list, as well as the condition that we deal with each person, recognizing their need, we pray for them. The prayer list goes up and down, people come and go, but tell you what, generally what I try to do, if somebody has cancer, I try to carry them at least a month or two. If they're in stable condition, we'll bring it back when it becomes more acute. The name of Bob McMorrin, he's been on the list for a while. Bob had an infectious disease that he got up here in Port Huron. He went down to Florida. It almost took his life. He then went to a recovery home. They transferred him to Florida, where he was there too. Each week I get an update by Shinoskis, Ray and Sue, about his update, but it's not very good. I mean, it's kind of just hanging there, his life in a thread. Whatever got into his body and corrupted his blood has been destroying his muscles. So walking, standing, all those basic things you and I take for granted are his either to rebuild or never to rebuild for his life. So his wife and the family extended certainly are in need of prayers. Remind you, October 6th is the Hunger Walk Crop. make a commitment. I have sign-up sheets back there. If none of the youth contact you, sign up on those sheets, okay, please. It was a neat confirmation class this last week. I got the full book together. 8 youth, 4 parents, 1 mentor, 1 pastor in the parlor. It was almost standing room only. It was neat. The energy that those youth bring to the learning process is just fantastic. By the way, they like the treat I give them at the end of the class. It's not bribery, it's rewards. No. They look forward to just being together. Some cute ideas I just creatively came up with, so now I gotta be responsible for them. I said, with all this energy and 8 of you, how about if we make a t-shirt, design a t-shirt, and print it? Some kind of logo, and then at the bottom of the subscription, Our Savior Lutheran Catechism Class 2019. Oh, were they excited. So Jenna Marie, who's been confirmed, who's an artist, and is gonna pursue art when she graduates, she is gonna design it for us. The class will decide if it's appropriate and send it back to her, if not. So we get more people involved in the process. It's gonna be a learning time, a fun time. I will give you a little bit in each of the e-letters I send to you to see what they're learning as we study the Bible. Many other things. Please read, respond to the ones appropriate for you. Now our gifts are presented. We sing our offertory. If you'll please stand. And Lori is at the piano for those on the radio.
God, our provider, we bring nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. Accept the gifts you have first given us, which we bring to your table, and with them the offering of our lives. Nourish us now with the life that really is life, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. This week we sing the Lord's Prayer. Before I speak the blessing, I want to share with you, talking with Janet Bolgren, former member years ago when she moved to Marine City, we got detached. She's back up here in Port Huron, Fort Gresham. And speaking to her, I said, do you listen to us on the radio? She says, oh, absolutely. So I told her I'd give her a shout out. Janet, stay with us. Now the blessing. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Almighty God, bless you with grace, mercy, and peace, now and forever. Amen. Now, one of the most favorite hymns, though it's always hard to choose among them, requested by people, is Morning Cry. We sing. And now we have Lori back on the piano. She has been on her Fitbit. She's put on a mom. Thank you, Lori.
Go in peace. Live in love as Christ loved us. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.